Once upon a midnight eerie, as she scrolled, worn and weary, guzzling those forbidden, filthy tales of slutcraft she adores, fingers flying, nearly coming, suddenly there came a drumming, a firm and gentle tapping at her one bedroom's door. "Jesus fucking Christ," she muttered, "they'll see me all uncovered, legs spread like some gutter whore." Distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December when those devoured tales of fuckcraft brought her writhing to the floor. Her cunt slobbering and greedy, those dark stories kept her needy, just a slutty puppet humping, pumping as she begged for more, begged to be corrupted, but wet whispers interrupted by that knocking at her door. The silken, soft, uncertain rustling of her purple curtains thrilled her, filled her with delicious terrors only dreamt before, so that now, to still the beating of her heart, she knelt, repeating, "I know it's some harmless random who keeps pawing at my door, my dumb landlord or some drunk forgetting what the doorbell's for. Randomness and nothing more." Reluctantly, she covered and murmured to whatever hovered, "Ma'am," said she, "or mister, truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is that I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my bedroom door, that I scarce was sure I heard you." Here she opened my door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long she stood there trembling, fearing, dreaming dreams of leering strangers she'd never dared to say before. But no prowler broke the silence with a sudden act of violence, no intruder striding past her, no cruel and callous master to pin her wrists down and finish what she'd started on the floor, just winter wind and nothing more. Back into the bedroom turning, both soul and wet cunt burning, in a minute she heard a tapping, even louder than before. "Surely," said she, "surely that is someone at my window lattice. Let me see then what that is, and this mystery explore. I'll be strong and smart, like Velma, and this mystery explore. It's the wind, nothing more." "Open here," she flung the shutter, when with sudden flaps and flutters, in there stepped a stately raven from some gamin dream of yore. Not the slightest deference paid he, not a moment stopped or stayed he, but with mindless lord or lady perched beside her bedroom door, perched upon the full-length mirror just beside her bedroom door, perched and stared, and nothing more. Then the sad, bedraggled bird, beguiling her sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "That look is catastrophic," she said. "Did you fly in from on topic? Ghastly, grim, bedraggled raven wandering from the mall next door. So tell me what they call you in your favorite record store." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much she marveled at this awkward fowl to hear it speak so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was cursed with seeing bird above her bedroom door, curvy bird staring unblinking at the wet spot on the floor, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, staring somber at the dripping slut, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till she shrugged and dropped her silken robe back down upon the floor. "Hope you like the show, 'cause this bitch already knows she'll be coming like a whore." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said she, "what it babbles is only stock in store, caught from some frigid twit who could never find her clit, watched Karen struggle to unlock what I know my Bible rock. I bet Karen rubbed it sore as Birdie said his only word, just never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling her into naughty smiling, she brought the lube and velvet cushion right in front of bird and door. Upon the velvet sinking, she betook herself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this voyeur bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. Her legs spread, but she kept guessing, with no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose beady eyes now burned into her needy core. He stared straight into her soul as she pumped her grasping holes. Poor Lenore kept on finding, despite her expert level grinding, her craving cunt forgot the edge, that winding path up to the ledge she treads that path. Nevermore. Lenore kept filling up her room with thickest clouds of cunt perfume. Sweat and wet kept spilling all over the cushions and the floor. You prick, she cried. Stop all these tricks, or you can eat a bag of dicks. And I'll eat every dick I can. I'll lick it up and beg for more, and I'll be a cum-dump whore. I'll sell myself for this one more, quoth the raven. Nevermore. Asshole, said she, tell me who sent you, which evil dom or devil, whether some tempter sent or tempest tossed your dumb bird ass at my door. I'll shut up, my words don't matter. Silly cum-dump shouldn't chatter. I'll devote myself to service. I'll fulfill my fleshly purpose. Is there any way I'll get there? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven. Nevermore. And that's our sign of parting, you nasty bird, she shrieked upstarting. Get your stupid poser crow ass back to that mulgaunt snore. Don't leave your feathers on my shit, I think I've had enough of it. You don't get to be included. I'll just rub until I'm stupid. You don't get to see me naughty. Take your eyes off of my body. Quoth the raven. Nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the full-length mirror right beside her bedroom door. As she humps in new positions, panting for permission, lost in dreams of teasing torments her new owners have in store when they see fit to come retrieve their cock sleeve off the floor. And Lenore will taste her freedom never more. Ugh.